is the Sports Fever. If it's a sport, we cover it. And here are the hosts, Anthony Colasano, Dom DeRosa, Noah Gugliotta, also known as Googs, and Sean Johnson.
.com proudly nominated for a National Association of Broadcasters Marconi Award for College Radio Station of the Year. I am your host for today's episode, Dominic DeRosa, and you are listening to The Sports Fever with Anthony Colasano and Noah Gugliotta, or otherwise known as Googs.
Yeah.
Good morning.
And we have a little bit of a difference today going on. And I am your host, Anthony. You care to explain why?
So obviously we record the show in advance, as everyone listens to it on a Sunday. And I had the good pleasure of spending my weekend with our best friend of the show, Mr. Ryan Reynolds. It is today his 22nd birthday. So I am in Philly with him and a couple of my other buddies. Having a great time with him. And yeah, so that is why I am at his house right now in Jonathan's studio running the gamut. And but yeah, obviously we're still going to make it work and we have a great show today.
Oh yeah, we are. Definitely. This is weird. Obviously I'm the only one in here. It's a little lonely, boys. but it should be a good one.
Me and Anthony got hammered last night.
No, well, what did you get hammered off of?
Well, Anthony had alcohol and I had chocolate mixed with ice cream. So,
how wonderful! Hey,
I had the better night though.
Yeah,
I would say so.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I mean, I could have a milkshake, but you know, lactose intolerance.
Oh, that's right. You got to take lactate.
The lactates don't even work.
No,
I feel bad for you because right now I will say this: my stomach's a little off. And
When is it not?
Yeah, Noah Gugliotta.
That's true. I had a burger. Oh God, I had calamari. Oh God. Oh no.
Was it calamari?
The deep end, Dom.
Yeah. Yeah. Rein it in. I gotta rein it in.
Oh yeah.
It's getting old.
Definitely. But the first thing that I want to talk about, and this isn't bias, it's actually because Anthony talked about it, and what we want to talk about first is Fernando Tatis Jr. Next face of baseball, you know, energetic, brings a lot of spirit, and he just got the bag. The other day, the Padres have agreed on an extension to get their shortstop, 14-year deal worth $340 million at the age of 22. That's absolutely insane. We could see players like Juan Soto get this deal next, but for right now, we're going to focus on Tatis overall. Anthony, I'm going to come to you first. How do you feel about this move? Are you shocked in any way with the money and the years? What's your overall look at this?
Obviously, you know, with a guy who's 22 years old, you know, the years do kind of concern you because, right, he has so much promise, right? And we expect that. But obviously, you don't know what's going to happen in the next 14 years. However, when you look at the money, $340 million, the first thing you look at that, it's a lot of money. You're like, oh, my God. Like, why are they giving in so much money? But then you break it down, it's like it's over 14 years. The average annual value of it is 22 per year, and they get backloaded or front loaded. I suggest they front load the deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I suggest that with all big contracts because you get the best production out of these players at the front end. So that in the back end, if they start, struggling a little bit, start slagging, you can move him. But I don't think they're going to move him. But I think it's a great deal. And I don't know if you guys saw this clause that was in his contract.
Yes.
But he owes $30 million of that contract to investors due to a minor league deal he made back in 2018. It wasn't illegal. It was legal. It's totally legal. But I would think there was a clause where, like, if he were to get a massive haul back, he has to pay them back in return. And, you know, these investors are making a pretty good chunk of his contract. But nevertheless, it's a great deal. Like you said, Dom, he's the next face of baseball. Whenever Mike Trout slows down, however, I have no idea when this man is slowing down. But yeah, I believe it's Mike Trout, Fernando Tatis, and then probably Aaron Judge if he can get back to A-list superstar level.
Yeah, and stay healthy and stay on the field. For sure. I agree with that. Exactly. Noah, what's your take on this, buddy?
Yeah, I you know, it's crazy to see that deal. When that came out, I was in class Wednesday night, and I was told, I was like, holy crap. But then the comparisons on other deals like Mike Trout and you know, Bryce Harper. But then you compare a guy like Ronald Acuña Jr. I saw a lot of tweets about his agent should be fired and how what deal he got, you know, mm-hmm. the years, $100 million or whatever. It's like, it's not even close. And I mean, Acuña deserves that money. So
and he plays a premier position, shortstop yeah. again, premier, but yeah. center field, super premier as well.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, and to not get the money like that, these stars are starting to get, and people like Bryce Harper to get crazy money. It's a little disappointing. But for Fernando Tatis, he deserved every penny of that, and I think that this deal will end up really paying dividends for the Padres. They have if they do the right things, they keep their guys healthy. This could be a dynasty in the making, which kind of scares me as a Yankees fan. So I'm just hoping that you know, we could see a Yankees Padres rematch of the World Series.
Yeah, we could.
Yeah, if that happens, I won't talk to you guys for the whole entire series. So, you know, no hard yeah, feelings.
They've made so many moves, so many big moves. I mean, we can go down the list of Blake Snell and Yu Darvish, and then to lock up Fernando Tatis. Not that we thought that anything else was going to happen, but they look like they're really raring to go, and they're going to be a really, really solid team.
Yeah, they're not playing games. But Dom, you're the Padres fan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we need you. Yeah. We need you to tell.
All right, so I'm excited. Right when it came, the news came, I was like pumped. I was eating Wendy's in my dorm room, and I looked at the news. I was like, oh my goodness. I was really stoked. And the money, look, I don't know where San Diego's getting all this somehow, but it's working out in the making. And I believe they're still in a pretty good state right now with the whole top dollars and the luxury tax and all that. So they're not too bad despite the $812 million infield at all. But I'm really excited for this. The Padres weren't really known to have great shortstops throughout their history, besides really like Ozzie Smith, Gary Templeton, anything like that. So Tatis being the guy he is, and Machado's even said it, he makes, you know, the game more fun for me now again. He makes me feel young, and this kid is spontaneous. You know, he's so fun to watch, and I always have respect for Trout. He's one of my favorite players just to watch, but I think the difference is to where Tatis is going to take over is due to the energy he always brings and the personality, you know. I mean, Trout kind of just goes out there and does his thing, which there's nothing wrong with that, but this kid has so much fun playing. He's always dancing, he's always just singing along, everything like that. This kid makes the game so fun, and that home run he hit to put the Padres down one and eventually win that game against the Cardinals in the playoffs this year was insane. This kid, people thought he was going to be okay. People still think Vlad's going to be better, which, hey, he lost weight, so we got to see what he can do. But he's not off to the greatest start, so I'm very excited as a Padres fan to have our shortstop for another 14 years.
Yeah, and this kid's our age. Let's remind you, he's 22. I'm 22.
Yep,
I'm 22. You're 22. I'm just like, he's living his best life. I'm just like, my God. That's dangerous money to give a 22-year-old.
Yeah,
I'm saying that right now. That is dangerous.
But isn't that crazy to think, like, we're around the same age as these, like, absolute superstars? It's nuts. It's crazy.
Yeah. Because you look at them and you're like, oh, wow, like, oh, they're all probably older than me. But, like, no. We're at that point now where they're your age. And I'm like,
and sometimes they're younger despite being 22. Like,
like Marvin Bagley's younger than us. I think Zion's younger than us.
Yes, he is.
I was drinking two milkshakes last night, two chocolate milkshakes. They're stars in the leagues and like a sports league they play in, like that. It's so upsetting, you know. Like,
that was just so hard on yourself, buddy. Yeah. I'm sure those milkshakes were good. Though.
Like, isn't that disappointing? Like, I should be president by now. Well, you can't be. You have to be 35. But like, it's brutal.
Yeah, I know, cool. But it's crazy. I'm very, very excited with the news. Obviously, the only thing that scares me is that where does San Diego go in a couple years from now with these big, hefty contracts on the way? But, you know, otherwise than that, they went cheaper on some other deals. They let Rosenthal go, surprisingly, to the A's for $11 million. I didn't think they'd spend that kind of money. And, yeah, they made other moves that are just amazing. Keone Kella, Yu Darvish, Blake Snell. I can go on with the list. Mark Melanson. So I'm excited. Yep. But it's going to be a tough division series, too. It's going to be no one ever said it's going to be easy. So the Dodgers are really going to be an interesting team to be facing 19 times in the year.
Dom, do you think this move was made too soon? Do you think there's going to be any lull for him, or like, what do you think is going to happen to Fernando?
Yeah, because it could go two ways. It could be either like A, it's like the Jeter deal. You lock him up 10 years, just does his thing, and he performs at an elite level, which he did. And then, or there's some guys where you give them the bag, and they're like, oh, all right, I don't got to try anymore.
So I forget who said it, but someone said Tatis has that work ethic to where that's why we gave him the contract, and I believe in that totally. The way that he cut down his strikeout percentage, his barrel percentage too went skyrocketing up. You know, hard hits. He's one of the best at hitting the baseball at 110 or more. So this kid has a hard work ethic. He really knows how to play the game of baseball, and I think he wants to learn more and everything like that. So the only thing that scares me about this contract is that he's only played around 140 or so games due to the combined 60-game season and last year with a little bit of injuries. He's very athletic. He's been working also on defense a lot. He's cut that error list down. But it's the injuries. I think his work ethic is totally going to get better and better as it goes along, as it is now. But the injuries, I could just hope he could stay on the field because he is athletic. But him being like that, the last thing I need is him being too flexible and pulling a hamstring late into the regular season or anything like that.
Yeah. That would scare me too, not playing enough games. So I understand what you're saying. Like that is a little bit of an issue. So.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. But we're going to see how it finds out in 2035. Fun fact, the Mets still have to pay Bobby Bonilla another year into that deal till 2036.
That's just ridiculous. I can't believe that.
I know. Unreal. But really good. But really good segment. So we'll be right back with more of the Sports Fever on 107.7 The Bronc and 107.7TheBronc.com.
And we're back with this edition of the Sports Fever. Let's send it back to our hosts now.
.com. We are back live at the Rider University Studios. I am your host, Dominic DeRosa, and you are listening to The Sports Fever with Anthony Colasano and Noah Gugliotta, otherwise known as Googs. Yeah, that's baby. Me. And we just got finished talking about one of my favorite players in the game and one of the most upcoming exciting players too, and Tatis Jr. getting that mega extension. And now I want to move on to another player, boys, and that goes to the NFL with Carson Wentz. There's been a lot of shenanigans going on with Wentz and his name going out there, and just had a rough season, really just was not a pretty one. And he's finally dealt. He is on his way to the Indianapolis Colts. Anthony, I know you're a Colts fan. Well, I'll start off with you for this, but two picks go to the Eagles, second rounder and a possible first, and Carson Wentz ultimately goes to Indy. So it could be in for a new beginning. A lot of Colts players are excited for this. They obviously had Phillip Rivers, who just hung up the cleats. He did pretty good service for them for the final year. He's been aging as well. And Wentz is a lot younger. He's got a much better O-line and everything like that. So, Anthony, I'll start off with you. How do you feel about Carson Wentz as an Indianapolis Colt going into next year?
I like it. Obviously, Colin are the friend of the show. He's also bigger. He's a bigger Colts fan than me, so I got his take. So we were kind of thinking, like, you know, all right, he has a better team around him, a better O-line, a better offensive scheme play around him. And he's back with Frank Reich, the offensive coordinator, when he was about to win the MVP before his unfortunate ACL tear when they won the Super Bowl that season. So he's back with him, and that was the key to him being so successful. Now with him back, I feel like it's going to happen again. He's going to turn a corner, in my opinion. And he'll have more time in the pocket. I think that was a problem when he was in Philly after the Super Bowl run. They didn't do a good job protecting him. He didn't have enough time to really scan the field and really get a good throw because he was just getting pressure so quickly. And I know some guys can handle pressure better than Wentz, but I feel like he needs more time in the pocket because he's a different quarterback. I don't feel like he can run as much due to the ACL tear. I feel like he's learned that, like, look, I really shouldn't, if or else I might do it again or something worse can happen, or like an Achilles, and we don't want that. But yeah, I mean, hey, look, the thing was a steal. Two picks for Carson Wentz. I mean, come on. I mean, do we have to pay that contract? Yes. But also the Eagles had a $34 million salary cap hit when that deal happened. So they also got pretty screwed over as well with that, as well as not getting players in return. They're just getting picks. So no matter what, this is a win-win for the Colts. Not giving up any players and, you know, just giving up some, I don't know, like kind of meaningless picks at the end of the day.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you on that. I think that the Eagles, they can make their picks out of something they have right now. If they don't trade anything, 9 picks in this upcoming draft, and they hold the highest pick as the 6th overall pick. And it's just a question of if they can surround Jalen Hurts with either talent or they're going to put another quarterback in there to try and fight with him. I don't really like that decision at all. I think the Dolphins learn. They got to learn with Tua and build around him, and the Eagles should do the same. And much credit to the Colts. They're going to do that. They know that Brissett's going to be a reasonable backup for if he has to play in situations. And Carson Wentz, I really think he's going to be back in his form that he once was, and with 33 touchdowns, 7 picks or something like that, that was the year. And yeah, same system, same coaching, everything like that. He's got better weapons that can actually stay healthy. I really like this move a lot. I think Wentz is going to be an absolute beast and an absolute phenom with the Colts going into this season. So Noah, you're nodding your head at me. I think you're agreeing with me here, but I would still like your take on this overall trade that happened.
I do agree with you. I do think the one position they could make improvements is who Carson Wentz is throwing to. You know, because I looked at some of the depth chart. They had some names, you know, Pittman Jr. and T.Y. Hilton, but you know, I think they need to improve in that position. The one thing I like about the Colts is I agree with you guys what you said about the offensive line, but also the running game. Yes. I like Jarvis a lot. I think he's a solid back out, you know, catching balls out in the out of the backfield, you know, check down option. And I think Carson Wentz, especially this season, they need to simplify it for him. Don't make anything too hard. Get him making the throws. And then from there, once he knows that scheme, once he's back used to what Frank Reich does, I think he really could feast. I will say this though, I don't think it's going to be easy sledding. I really don't for him, because I think he needs to get confidence back. I feel like it took a lot of confidence away from him that he was benched and he wasn't playing well at all, and it kind of ruined his relationship with Doug Peterson and the Eagles. So I think he just needs to get back in the saddle, start playing well, start throwing the ball around. But I think he's still a competent quarterback. And it doesn't mean he's got to throw for 400 yards a game and 3 touchdowns every game. He's just got to manage a game at first, and then we'll see what he's able to do for the Colts, because the Colts are ready to win now. Their defense is really solid. They have a really good team around it. Again, just a weapon or two more in that wide receiving core, maybe a tight end. Pacheco is pretty solid.
He's serviceable.
Yeah, I mean, but like one more receiver, maybe. I think they're really ready to play. And guess what? Philip Rivers was able to take that team to a playoff. So I think they're really ready. I really do.
Yeah, and you know, with Philip Rivers being 37, you know, everyone thought, all right, in the beginning he was strong, and then he got hot. You know, but he was a little older. I think with Wentz, and I feel like his time in Philly was done the moment they won the Super Bowl, because of the fact that he wasn't the guy who led them there. It was Nick Foles, unfortunately, for Carson Wentz. And after that, I think it just kind of sprawled out of control. The fans really started to hate him. They didn't even like him when they first drafted him. It brings me back to Kristaps Porzingis, when no one knew who he was, and like, oh, this guy's going to be a bust. And lo and behold, he was the unicorn, became a superstar, and you know, he still wasn't happy. So I feel like that also has a play in it too. It's like his mental psyche with the fans and the overall media in Philly. I think just to get out of that setting, it's just good for me. And also to mention, going back to you, like the running game, you know, Jonathan Taylor, Hines, Marlon Mack is also probably going to be coming back too. because he got injured pretty early. So those three guys, I mean, granted, you could probably trade one of them and get an asset back. But yeah, those three guys in the backfield, and I agree with you. We need one or two more offensive weapons.
What about Odell? I mean, he's on the market, possibly.
We could trade for him, but I don't know what we give up. I mean, we're not going to give up our running back because their running back game is better than ours.
Yeah, they already have a good Nick Chubb.
It's like, yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that tandem.
Yeah. If we got Odell and we gave up like nothing, I don't know if that'll happen. But if we somehow pull that off, oh, man.
You don't know because Odell's been suffering injuries and the Browns and Mayfield were clearly better without Odell on the field.
And that's true. Really pushing through. Everyone knows that. I think Odell knows that.
Yeah, so he's not going to get that much in return, I think. I honestly think that. So,
and also his contract's pretty big, too. He's getting like 25.
Could it be because he needs to be the guy? Like with Jarvis Landry's such a good receiver. You know, because it is crazy to think that he's a great receiver. It's not like he's not talented. It's just they weren't as cohesive when he was on the field.
Yeah, I think that's the problem because I think if he's the 1A, and I think T.Y. Hilton is better as a 1B.
He was also a really slow start.
It opens up the field.
Yeah.
It opens up the field for him, and then he could get the touches he needs because the last couple of seasons he's really, really struggled as the primary receiver, Juju has for a couple seasons as well when Antonio Brown first left.
Yeah, I agree with that. If anything, maybe the Colts can try and go after Marvin Jones or if Kenny Galladay, depending on his status. I know Jones specifically.
I like Marvin Jones.
Yeah, he wants to play in a contending franchise. He said so. Maybe he comes to the Colts.
Just one more guy I think would really solidify them as like a solid offense, like all around. I really do.
So. Yeah, and I feel like they could be the most complete team in football. Because you look at it, all right, the Chiefs, lethally offensively, no one's going to doubt that. But defensively,
They got questions.
Mediocre, especially after the Super Bowl. The Bucks, I would say, are the most probably complete team.
They're the most talented,
with the defense really showing up and just how they're coached by Todd Bowles and then just the offense run by obviously the GOAT himself, Mr. Tom Brady. So I feel like in terms of just pure talent and just like where everyone's at age wise, I feel like the Colts could be the best team in football if they make those little decisions this offseason.
And the Browns could be another team that we have to watch out for because that offense is no joke, and we'll see what they can do. And then the defense, too. So the AFC is really shaping up a little bit.
It is. And I think the Browns are going to get better and better as the years go along. Yep. So it's going to be interesting. Last take I'll put out there for the Chiefs, I agree that the defense is just shaky. But also one thing you got to look at is that with that Mahomes contract, there's a question of if the Chiefs can really afford – other guys wants to hit free agency and they want a lot of money too. So their window might be half open and we're not really thinking about it. In my opinion, I can honestly see that. So
yeah,
I don't know. I feel like Kelsey would take a pay cut because he's a little older. I think Tyreek Hill is the one that would probably be the one going to get some money.
Yeah.
And those, that three is, that's a tough one to go without. You know, one of them being away is really tough.
It is. But nevertheless, Carson Wentz is a Colt, and they got some good stuff out of it too with just two picks that they gave up and no players. It's been a pretty good trade for the Colts is what I'm hearing. And, you know, we're going to see how he pans out this season and in a few more. So we'll be right back with more of the Sports Fever only on 107.7 The Bronc and 107.7thebronc.com.
And we're back with this edition of the Sports Fever. Let's send it back to our hosts now.
.com. We are back. I am your host, Dom DeRosa, along with Anthony Colasano and Noah Gugliotta, or otherwise known as Goobs. And you're listening to the Sports Fever. And we got into a lot, whether it was Tatis's extension, and now we just recently got into Wentz's trade to the Colts. One other thing we got to talk about, we're shifting gears here to NBA basketball, and we're going to be talking about the All-Star game that's upcoming March 7th on TNT at 8 p.m. Should be a good one despite being so controversial. We have revealed the starting coaches and the starting lineups for both the captains, in which it's Captain LeBron for his team and Captain Durant for his team. So it's Team LeBron, Team Durant going at it. Head coaching-wise, it's Doc Rivers going to be coaching Team Durant, while Quinn Snyder is going to be coaching Team LeBron. And I think that this is the reason because of the fact that they're both the Utah Jazz for Snyder and the Sixers for Rivers have the best records right now in the West and the East, respectfully. The Jazz are on playing on another level despite losing recently to the Clippers. Hooray. And the Sixers and Embiid have been on another planet, for crying out loud. So it's going to be an interesting one. We're going to go through the starters. And if you boys want, we can maybe list a couple of reserves that are potentially an option, because we're not going to hear about the reserves and they're not going to be revealed till Tuesday. So we don't know on that. We don't know about really any snubs just yet. But we do have the starting five for each team, and we'll go through it. And if you guys want, we can make our picks as well to really – I know it's tough because we don't have the full roster, but – we'll get there, you know.
I have a dark horse who I think might get a reserve, but I'll save that
for All right. Yeah, we'll save that. So for the starters, I'll go in the order, and then I'll go with you guys around to give our take. And starting off with Team LeBron, he has Luka Doncic, Stephen Curry, Nikola Jokic, and Kawhi Leonard, my boy. So that's pretty cool to see. As for Team Durant, Kyrie Irving, Bradley Beal, who's right now Bradley Beal is leading in points per game, just because the Washington Wizards just stink and Bradley Beal's got to do everything in his power to put that team in a little bit of recognition. Kevin Durant, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Joel Embiid. And Embiid has just erupted. So
just to clarify, because you said Team LeBron and Team Durant, they're both captains. So I don't know if they're going to change it up this year because of COVID and stuff, but how it works, it's like, it's whoever, once the reserves get picked and all that, once the reserves get picked, they're going to do a draft. That's what they've been doing the last couple of years. So it's not like Team Durant is Beal and Embiid and Giannis. He can pick Luka. He can pick Curry. It's like that now.
Wow.
So they just commit the 10 starters.
So it's just like these are the starters you pick and then the reserves you pick. That's how it's been going around, which is great because it's cool to see, because the first year they did it, I remember everyone was mad because it wasn't televised. There was no big no one got to see who got picked where, because that was a big thing. And then obviously now it's televised now on TNT. So it's a lot of fun for them. It's a lot of fun for the fans to see. And, you know, it's one of the good things that the NBA has done to revamp the All-Star game in a positive way. So that I just want to clarify.
Yeah, I personally like if you keep them in Western and Eastern conferences. And I forgot all about that. It's like a draft where you just select. But it should be fun. I mean, now I'm going to kind of talk about it again to where I didn't know that. That's a surprise to me. So I thought those were the set five.
Yeah, so too.
It is the set five, but in the sense of like they're not all the East aren't with the East and the West aren't with the West.
So Kevin Durant and LeBron will have their four picks for the starters, and they'll have to pick from those starters and then go to the reserves.
Correct.
I kind of agree with them. I kind of like the Western Eastern conference, but the thing is that they probably see that they can get better ratings with changing it up. And every All-Star team has done this before. They've all done this thing where they're like, let's change it up and make it – well, maybe not baseball, but they've all tried to change it up and make it different and do, like, we'll pick and stuff like that. So
I understand. A little more freedom for the players, I guess.
Yeah, I get it. It's just I think an All-Star game usually for me is kind of, you know, not that interesting, but, you know, some people get it too.
Yeah, but – it is a loaded 10 players as of right there. But two reserves I want to talk about are on the same team, actually, to where I'm a little shocked they're not, you know, in there, at least one of them. And it's going to go to the Boston Celtics. And those two players are both Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, especially Tatum. I feel like he's just been not missing. He's been playing on another level. I'm surprised he's not a starter as of right now. And Jaylen Brown, too. ever since he came out of Cal, I thought he would be a decent pro, but he's really been better than what I've stated. I've been eating my words on him. So those are two Celtic players that I'm actually a little shocked that they're not going to be starters for this All-Star appearance game. They're definitely going to be reserve players, but those are my two like wow kind of moments of two players that I think could at least be arguably starters for either team. So Noah, do you have are you shocked by anything about this right now or anything like that?
I think the one that everyone was saying was Damian Lillard not being a starter. Mm-hmm. Obviously it'll be reserved. And I think Anthony pointed this out before we started the segment, like just that he's probably the biggest surprise. But like, there's so many that it's hard to replace these people. You know, Doncic is still a really good player, but you see how the Mavericks have played, and they've been really off at times this season. So like, you know, you see somebody like Damian Lillard, and you would want him to be a starter. And this just goes to that story, to that narrative that he just does not get enough respect. You know, he never has, and he's kind of like, he's always been the guy. He's always been such a crazy player, you know, but I think it fuels him. So I think he would be the person.
It does. And with that Portland team too, he's tried so much with him and McCollum, and they really just can't get over the hump. It's just such a tough Western Conference too, where he tries everything. It's just, it's not enough sadly for him and his career as of right now. Anthony, do you have any shockings or anything like that for this NBA All-Star game that we know of right now?
Shocking meaning from the starter's perspective?
Either way, whether it's reserves that are not starters or just starters that shouldn't be, anything like that, man.
I feel like everyone's deserving, in my opinion. I mean, you have to look at it this way. I mean, look, most of these votes are from the fans, right? So it's a fan vote. Mm-hmm. And then obviously the players and like the league have somewhat of a say at the end of the day. But look, like Noah said, it's hard to take out one and put Lillard in and not say, oh, well, then he got snubbed. No matter what, there's always one guy that's getting snubbed every single year. I just think Damian Lillard's is so big because it's happened more often than once. So that's why it's such a big deal. And look, he's like third in scoring. He's leading the Portland to probably another playoff run. They're like right in the pack with the West without McCollum, without Nurkic, without Zach Collins. So it's amazing to see. So I feel like that's why people are really hammering this home at the end of the day. But I will say this. I did like what you say about the Boston Celtics. However, I do agree that Jaylen Brown deserves a little bit more than Jason Tatum.
Okay.
I feel like Jason Tatum is a little bit more streaky, because if you notice, last Sunday he played the Wizards. He had 6 points, 3 of 14 shooting. Was not a great game for him. I feel like Jaylen Brown's been the more consistent figure for that Celtics team. Jaylen Brown, don't get me wrong, is a superstar in the making still at only 22. But we hope to see him get to that next hump. But Jaylen Brown, I believe, should have been a starter if I were to switch out one guy. If I were to add another person to the starting lineup, I would say give it to Jaylen Brown. But I will say this, to start this up, I will say this. LaMelo Ball is going to be an All-Star reserve.
Oh, man. And okay, I'll give you my take first on that. I really hope that happens, man, because, you know, you guys know I've been iffy with the Ball family, but I do like Lonzo and I do like LaMelo Ball, because LaMelo really, really impressed me in film and everything. He grew a lot and he's really looking so nice, and he's always on the highlight tapes. If that happens, Anthony, you're getting the biggest 6 foot socially distanced hug ever, because LaMelo Ball deserves to be in there. I mean, he makes Charlotte so fun to watch too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So if he that does. Happens, man, that's a dark horse. You weren't kidding. So I like that pick.
It's a rookie, so that's why it's tough. It's tough for rookies to really break into the All-Star game, but I feel like he can do it. He's had some really great performances, and he's really been consistent ever since they plugged him into the starting lineup, averaging around 16, 17 points a game, 7 assists over his last 5 games. So I see it, and he's only 19, so that's the other reason why. So that's my dark horse.
I like that a lot. Noah, you got any dark horses right there, buddy?
I don't. Well, I was looking at this list for who they have, And I saw some names that kind of like interested me. So for the Eastern Conference, this Sportsnet had projected Harden, Jaylen Brown, Chris Middleton, Jason Tatum, Bam Adebayo, Ben Simmons, and Fred VanVleet for the Eastern Conference. I'll go through the West quickly. Damian Lillard, Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, Paul George, Zion Williamson, Mike Conley, Chris Paul.
Okay.
So I don't really they didn't have LaMelo Ball, but it would be really cool to see somebody like him get in.
He's such a
highlight machine. Like, you know, I've seen so much on SportsCenter and stuff and on their Instagram. Like, he's really playing well. So it'll be interesting to see if he's able to come in and play.
Yeah. I like that pick a lot. One of my dark horses, Noah, you're going to like this one. It's Julius Randle. The man has just been so great for the Knicks. Hard work ethic.
Yeah.
He's always in the gym. He's a gym rat. He's been really putting up those numbers. So that's going to be my dark horse for this one. I really hope he does make it. And I'm not a Knicks fan, and I really like the guy. So it should be a really good one. I'm excited for where these starters go and who becomes the reserves for this. And without fans and everything and without celebrities, we're going to just have to try and make it a good one. You know, we're going to have to just go through there. That's all we have for the All-Star break, at least. And we'll be right back with more of the Sports Fever on 107.7 The Bronx and 107.7thebronx.com.
And we're back with this edition of the Sports Fever. Let's send it back to our hosts now.
.com. I am your host, Dominic DeRosa. Alongside me is Anthony Colasano and Noah Gugliotta, or otherwise known as And you're listening to the Sports Fever. So for our last segment, it's a little bit of a special one. It's for really mainly Noah and I, because we have been really getting into hockey as of late. At least I have. Noah's always been a true Rangers fan. Sean's not with us here today, so he cannot join in on the Rangers talk. So for this final segment, it's a little bit of a Rangers segment, to say the least. And we're going to just go through it, how we feel so far, you know, what, a quarter of the way into the season already?
56 games. It's something like that, actually.
15 games played by the time we're recording this, so yeah. Yeah, a good first quarter of it, I'd say, almost. So, Noah, right now we obviously know that they're playing in only their own divisions and they are separated, and they're playing in one of the toughest ones in the MassMutual East. They got to play against the Bruins, the Flyers, the Capitals, the Islanders, and even though they have regressed a little bit, you still have to face the Pirates. You still have to face the Pittsburgh
Penguins.
Yep. Thank you. New Jersey Devils and the Buffalo Sabres, which, okay, wow, big whoop. Yep. But the Rangers have some interesting company over there. And as of right now, they sit in seventh out of eighth with 13 points at 5-7-3, which isn't that bad for this young of a team. Noah, you told me that this team is averaged to be around 25 years old, and that's very young for NHL reference, and this team's building young with a lot of prospects and everything like that. So just to start off, get me into what you've been impressed with and what you've kind of just been surprised with to start the season off.
We've talked about this, Dom. Mm-hmm. There's two things. Last season was a really solid season for the Rangers. There wasn't a lot of expectations. They made moves in the offseason to get Jacob Trouba and Artemi Panarin and had young guys like Lindgren and Adam Fox. Artemi Panarin was a Hart Trophy finalist. Like, he's one of the best players in the league and is continuing to prove that this season so far. And then, you know, the young guys like Adam Fox have been great, but more of a general team analysis kind of offense has been the struggle this season. And that was not at all our struggle last season. The Rangers were scoring in droves, and now they're having a lot of problems with that. And the other thing that started off being an issue this season was the goaltending. I thought Igor Shesterkin and Alexander Georgiev did not look good. I don't know why. I think they maybe had, I don't know if it was they had the yips or knowing that Lundqvist wasn't there. I don't know what it was, but they've started to figure it out. They've looked better and better. They're making saves that need to happen, and I'm happy with how it's progressing. Then the thing that I thought would be the issue, I think you thought, Dom, would be the issue, is defense, the defense, and it's been great. I don't get how it's possible, but it's been great. But look at this stat. I think goals for the Rangers this season through 15 games is they have 36 goals, and then they've given up 41. Now, 41 goals through 15 games is not terrible. The 36 has to be higher, though. Yeah. They have to start scoring, and I'm sure, you know, I'll throw it back to you, Dom. I'm sure there's players that you need to see more from, I need to see more from, and the Rangers need to get production from certain guys, and I think you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, definitely. And one of those players is Mika Zibanejad. I mean, 15 games into this, he only has one goal and two assists. That's 3 points. He's minus five in the plus-minus category whenever he's on the ice, too. Otherwise than that, there's other rookies and younger kids that are looking better than him, such as Keandre Miller and Kaapo Kakko, who had a big goal the other night, too. Chris Kreider has been off to a slower start than I imagined as well. I feel like that he could be off to a better one. I mean, with four goals, however, it is not too bad. It's just assist-wise, I thought he'd be a little more active on the ice. But players that have impressed me, Noah, Buznevich and Adam Fox as well. I think those two guys have really brought so much, and even especially Adam Fox on the defensive end. But Pavel Buznevich has really been the provider on offense, if there is any, you know? And with Panarin out, he's been kind of the captain in a way to step up and get them the big-time plays and get them where they are right now. And credit is where credit's due. And it's not just Fox, but this whole defense, they'll lose games, but they will play so tough against these hard teams like the Bruins, the Capitals, the Flyers, a nice shootout win the other night. However, the Flyers did have injuries, of course, but still, a win's a win. But just some of these guys that I thought were going to be okay are doing better, and some of those guys that I thought would be doing great to start off the season are doing a little more poor than I imagined, like Zibanejad. And he can easily get into his own, and I think he will, because him and Panarin are really the flashes for that Rangers offense that we need. And the most impressive to me is obviously Panarin. He leads the team in points. Even with the little bit of injuries he's going through, he's just a beast. He gets better as the years go along, honestly. And you're right, Noah. The goaltending has to get better. I'm still iffy with whether I like Shesterkin or Georgiev more. I think I lean towards Shesterkin just a little bit. But, it's got to get better, and they will. They're young. They're very talented. And they can really find their way and find their groove for a while into those games.
Yeah, and you're right about Shesterkin saying he's, you know, you lean him, and it's just because he's the goalie of the future. He's, you know, I think he's 25, and he had such a great season last year in only like, you know, 11 or 12 games. But you're right. They need to just figure it out. They need to settle in. And I think they've been much better lately, you know, the last five games, six games maybe. But they just need to be a little more consistent. And, I agreed with a lot of what you said. I thought the Buznevich point was good. I thought he's, especially early in the season, really was a spark that got the team going. And then scored a goal against the Devils, I think it was. And Kreider needs to be better. I think at times you see him make a great play and you're like, where is this Kreider? Mm-hmm. Here's what his game is. Relying on his speed, his strength, his size, and posting up in front of the goalie, causing screens, getting deflections. That's Chris Kreider. Agreed. That's what he needs to do. I can't tell you how many goals I have seen because he just posts in front of the net, screens the goalie. The goalie has no idea where the puck is, and the shot goes in. And you know who's played really well?
Go for it.
Colin Blackwell.
That's right.
I do not know who the heck he is. I honestly don't. He's played great. And the other thing is, I think you make a really good point about Kaapo Kakko. He has played really good, but he can't buy a goal. Like, he got the shootout, you know, he scored in the shootout, but he can't buy a goal right now. And it's just like, he's had chances, and he's he's making opportunities for other players. I think Lafreniere has played pretty solidly. I'm not mad about his game. And like you said, again, Keandre Miller, I thought he's been one of the better defensemen on the team. So it's just about putting it all together. I think they still need a little time to be more cohesive at times, because I think there's periods where you just see them totally just look out of shape, out of it totally as a team. But once they start having more time, you'll see that this team will start to be really get used to each other. And Zibanejad just has to play better. 3 points through 15 games in the season is unacceptable. And I love the guy. I really do. I think he's – last year he was the best player at times. So I think he needs to be better. But, yeah, I think you made really good points, though.
No, you too, Noah. And the last point I'll make here is that I think they do have to get better offensively, especially when it comes to setting the puck and setting some offensive plays to where they can pass it around and not get deflected or get it to where it's going to the back to Georgiev versus Sturkin, who has to pass it back out. Just get a better flowing offense to where you can pass the puck and not get intercepted and everything like that. So I think that's really key to help step up the offense for sure.
And people need to shoot more. Just shoot.
Exactly. Don't be afraid to shoot. Exactly, because the best shots, like Wayne Gretzky said, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take, and they're being a little too hesitant at times, for sure. But
agreed.
Yeah, great segment, Noah. It's been really good talking hockey with you, Anthony. We had a great show. Even with me as the host, it's so weird to say that for this one. Thank you guys for listening. If you want to follow us on our social media pages, you can. Feel free. Our Instagram is @thesports_fever. Our Twitter is @thesportsfever1. And if you want to give us an email, you can give us an email at thesportsfever@gmail.com. Thank you guys for the support. We'll be on next week.
Thank you for listening to this edition of The Sports Fever. Be sure to subscribe to our channel and be on the lookout for new episodes Sundays from 12 to 1 on 107.7 The Bronx, and also on every podcasting platform you can think of.